This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
November general election just days away. We've been circling back to talk to candidates we've talked to earlier in the campaign. Doing that today with 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle running for re-election. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So how do you feel about the campaign? Here we are, the final days, and what's that like to be, you know, just days away from waiting to see how things are going to turn out?
You know, there's lots of people who are talking about all the polls. The only poll that matters is the one on election day, which is, you know, the votes that are cast. And I'm feeling very positive about the race. I've gotten support from across the political spectrum, everywhere from Curry County all the way up to Lincoln County. You know, I see people at the grocery store here in Springfield during canvassing and from local leaders. And I'm feeling good about the race we've run, and I'm feeling strong about our chances to win re-election. But again, we won't know until election day.
Do you feel like this race will be close?
I really don't know. It's a, you know, the numbers for generic Democrat, or it's what they call D+4. So just in the if you average out over the years, a Democrat would get 52, a Republican would get 48. I've overperformed in the past because I get support from Democrats and Republicans, from business leaders, from labor throughout the district. And so I think that last time I won by 8, I'm hoping to do better than that. But a win's a win. And again, I'm proud of the campaign that we've run.
What have you been hearing from residents around the 4th Congressional District as you've been traveling around in the last few months, especially?
So what people talk about is, you know, jobs in the economy, housing, the affordability of housing and just the lack of housing, climate change and wildfire, and the concern about losing reproductive freedom and access to reproductive health care. Although we have it here in Oregon, the chances of things changing, you know, there's a chance, and we shouldn't feel like that is going to stay the same depending on how the presidential election goes. But mostly it's jobs. I went down to Coos Bay when we got about 74 million dollars for different aspects for the Coos Bay port and rail and terminal. And people came out when we had a press conference on 12 hours notice, over 40 people, and they were so excited that we can actually bring economic prosperity back to the South Coast and deliver on the promise that we made when the timber industry crashed. I mean, that would be 8,000 jobs in, you know, coastal Douglas County, Coos County, and West Lane County, and that's not a small thing. So people are excited, and excited to be able to have their kids stay on the South Coast and not have to leave to find good jobs.
How does that potentially impact the more inland areas of Douglas County?
Well, because these containers from the the ships are going to go directly to rail, and, you know, we'll be shipping out to the Midwest. For our farmers, for our ranchers, for our manufacturers, this is much easier access to international markets. So I've been talking to manufacturers from other states who now are looking at locating here because of the ease of access for export, you know, not having to go down to Long Beach or Seattle or, you know, other places. So this will be a great opportunity to bring new companies into the South Coast, including Douglas County and Roseburg, but also to support the companies who have stayed here and employed people for decades. So ease of access for export. And again, the goods and services that people will need to buy, everything from housing, and we're going to have to build more housing, to just all the everyday things, that will benefit our entire economy.
And as you look around at your campaign and some of the big issues, you mentioned what you've been hearing from residents. Are there other particular things that you really have been focused on this campaign cycle?
I mean, I've focused on jobs and the just the impact that expanding the Coos Bay port with the would have on our region. And wildfire, I've been fighting really hard to make sure that we can have the pay increase for our wildland firefighters made permanent. And I'm going to work on that in the lame duck session, meaning between, you know, November 12th when we go back and the end of December. And also to pay for many of the recommendations that have been made for how we can make it so that there's less things to burn. So wildfire, Port of Coos Bay, housing, and supporting local communities in the way that they feel is best, because what works for Roseburg doesn't work for Eugene and vice versa, and bringing Oregon taxpayer dollars back here. So we're not sending our taxpayer dollars to the federal government to go to another state. I think we should bring them back here to go to work for us.
Let's talk about the housing aspect for a bit. I mean, nationally, there's a shortage of housing. It seems like after the 2008-2009 recession, we have continued to grow more in that area with the shortage continuing to increase. You're seeing more construction in larger areas of multifamily housing, not just the traditional one-family home, but places like Roseburg, other parts of the district, are kind of in sometimes sort of ran out of space based on planning issues and things like that. From the federal side of things, how do you encourage and enable the communities in your district to be able to get more houses built? And how do you encourage the business community to want to make the investment to do that?
So, first of all, every single business owner that I talk to that's looking for workforce brings up, whether it's in healthcare or manufacturing or the timber industry, brings up the housing issue as an obstacle for recruitment. So employers know that, like Pacific Seafood, they've built workforce housing specifically so that their workers can live where they work. We brought federal money back to North Bend to help them invest in building workforce housing for, you know, your teachers, your police officers, firefighters, and other key essential workers. That's important, and it's, again, the permitting and the planning, that is a local level. That's handled by the county commission or the city or the state. What I can do is help bring resources, and also I worked with Senator Wyden on the DASH Act, and that specifically gives incentives and tax incentives for building housing, but not just low-income housing, but middle-income housing, that workforce housing. Every place in the district other than Eugene and Corvallis, and certainly Roseburg and the entire coast, have 0.5% vacancy rate or less. So this is an issue we need to work with local communities and the state to make sure we're delivering any way we can. But we can give tax incentives to builders who are going to build that housing. And if we bring 8,000 jobs to this region, we're going to have to build more housing, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about how this DASH Act, you believe, will work.
So the DASH Act, as I said, there's many different aspects to it, but again, there is a tax incentive, and because Senator Wyden is chair of the Finance Committee, for builders who are committed to come in and build middle-income housing and low-income housing. And the fact of the matter is, we can talk about low-income housing all we want, but if you don't have the housing stock, nobody has a place to live. I mean, I was talking to the Coast Guard up in Newport, and they said some of their workers have to live in Albany or Salem because they can't find housing in Newport. So again, on the builder side, there's tax incentives. On the low income side, it's expanding the Section 8 voucher program. So there's a number of different levels. But the key thing that I think we need is to help give a break to those home builders who are willing and able to build more homes.
All right, going to take a break. More when we come back. Congresswoman Val Hoyle running for re-election in the 4th Congressional District. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson ahead at 1 o'clock. Congresswoman Val Hoyle with us running for re-election, getting close to the end of the general election campaign with voting concluding on Tuesday. Looking ahead to the balance of the year and the things that will get done between November and December 31st, do you still see the potential to get the federal portion allocated for federal funding to help the Roseburg Veterans Home be placed on the Roseburg VA campus?
Absolutely. That is a priority, and it's so important to people in Roseburg and I think for the entire region. I voted on funding when I was in the state legislature in 2011. And again, this is about promises made that need to be kept. So we were able to make that appropriation request a top-tier request. And so Senator Wyden and myself have been working together, and we're very committed to bringing that home before the end of the year. I just don't think that we should be waiting any longer. And certainly, Representative Virgil Osborne and Senator David Brock Smith have worked tirelessly to bring this funding home. The state did their part. It's time for us to do our part. I also am going to be working, as I said, to get the Fix Your Forest Act moved, hopefully as part of the lands package. We can get that coming through. But with funding to actually make it happen, because you got no money, there's no mission. So we want it to be passed, come back over from the Senate, but with the money to actually pay our wildland firefighters and to do the work that's really important to get done.
Seems like both sides of the aisle, one of the things they are not talking about is reining in federal spending. That used to be a back and forth topic between each party, and a lot of concern about the growth of the federal budget deficit. What are your thoughts about how that deficit has grown and whether whichever side wins the presidency in both chambers in November, what should we do to deal with that, and what's the long-term implication if we don't?
So what we need to do is make sure that our taxpayer dollars are used efficiently. I believe twice voted against the National Defense Appropriations Act, where I do believe we need to invest in our national defense, of course. But the Defense Department, Department of Defense, has not passed an audit 6 different times. And if your agency can't pass an audit, then we don't have the kind of transparency and accountability I think we need in federal spending. So bringing taxpayer dollars back for priorities like the Roseburg Veterans Home, you know, like the Port of Tuesday, those are investments in infrastructure that will pay off in the long term. Also, for the Veterans Home, veterans served our country, and they've earned the services that we're trying to provide them. But we have to have more efficiency in government. I don't think Democrats talk enough about it, but I'm committed. That's where my 25-year private sector background comes into play. I understand what a budget should look like and how we should have efficiencies. And that means investing in technology so that, you know, people aren't making paper copies of things. And I'm committed to working on that when I get back to D.C.
As we look at some of the other issues out there, one of the questions, of course, is whether the Democrats will regain control of the House. If that happens, how might that change your committee assignments?
I'm not sure. I'm on natural resources and transportation and infrastructure, both on the water and in natural resources, water and forestry subcommittee. Those are perfect committees for me and for this district. If Democrats have the majority, I would certainly look at some other things, perhaps appropriations, but I would still want to stay on focusing on natural resources and transportation and infrastructure, because one thing that is bipartisan and has always been bipartisan is that we should, as the federal government, it is the job of the federal government to invest in our infrastructure that will last for generations. Roads, bridges, the Coos Bay Port, things like the Veterans Home. Like, these things are critical and important. So that's where I'm a workhorse more than a show horse. So I like to be on committees where you get things done in a bipartisan way. And I have found that to be the case on both of these committees.
What about homelessness and the drug crisis? We've talked a lot about that in Oregon. Some adjustments in how that is prosecuted have been made for the drug side of things. Is there a potential for a federal response at a bigger level to these two issues, which seem to be very intertwined?
I am hopeful that after the election, whoever wins, that, when we get back, we can pass some of the bipartisan immigration legislation that we have both on the House side, the Dignity Act, and then on the Senate side, the border control and immigration reform bill that James Lankford put forward, one of the most conservative senators in the Senate. But it was stopped because Donald Trump said, I don't want to give Joe Biden something to run on. Hopefully, after the presidential election, we can put that partisanship aside, make it happen. What we do need to do is give the Border Patrol the tools to do the job. Right now, they're working with 10-year-old technology, and the cartels have the latest and greatest technology. They are sending drugs across with people who have the legal right to come over the border, but the Border Patrol doesn't have the technology they need to find those drugs. We need to stop that at the border. We also need immigration reform, and I just hope that we can be grown-ups and get that done, because it's a serious issue that we're feeling all throughout this state, but also the entire country.
What's been some of the bigger challenges you faced in the last 2 years in Congress?
The general dysfunction and the acting out of people who don't, like, I got hired to do a job. And growing up, I was always told, when you show up and you have a job, you do the work. Whether you're picking up the chairs or you're chairing a meeting, you show up and put your best in. I'm frustrated by people who just come in to Congress to throw bombs. It's taken us 16 votes for Speaker to finally get Mike Johnson. And that is just a level of dysfunction that we can't tolerate. We left a week early in September to come home because Republicans put forward budgets that they couldn't even get their own caucus to vote on, their own conference, right? Their own members. So hopefully we can go back and pass the kind of budgets in a bipartisan way that, rewards efficiency and invest in the things we need to invest in, and allows us to not just have another continuing resolution and kick the can down the road on hard decisions. That's frustrating, but hopefully it'll be better.
And what is it like in terms of just watching? You talked about the dysfunction. Explain a little bit more about that.
Well, again, if you have the people in charge who can't pass the budgets that they develop themselves, that's a problem. I want to see people that will work together in a bipartisan way, represent the entire, not everybody, but what I've found And I've been very successful in passing bills and working in a bipartisan way in Congress and previous to that. I want people that are going to put their head down, get to work, understand you're not always going to get everything you want. But if we can agree on 80% of the things and move those forward, that is the best payback for the American people who elected us to do the job.
What's been the best part of being a member of Congress?
I think the best part is being able to make a difference in the lives of people. Again, when we talk to people in Coos Bay, they said, you know, we've been promised there will be jobs, there will be a replacement, a just transition from the timber industry, and all we did was just transition. They were very emotional, saying, we finally believe something can happen. I feel like I make a difference in the lives of people. The other thing is day to day, even though outwardly you see the, you know, the people, the show horses, the people who want to make trouble, day to day, I find my Republican and Democratic colleagues are really focused on working, and there's a lot of cooperation. I just wish the news media would talk more about that. I see that every day, and I get to serve with some incredible people, both Democrats and Republicans, and that is an honor. Every time I walk up and I see the Capitol, my heart just fills, thinking that someone like me could be in Congress, and so that really is the best part.
All right, we're out of time for now. Fourth District Congresswoman Val Hoyle running for re-election. Thanks for being on today.
Hey, thanks so much, Kyle.
1259 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.